Isaiah 43 says this: forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Vision is essential for survival. It is spawned by faith. It is sustained by hope, sparked by imagination, and strengthened by enthusiasm. It is greater than sight, deeper than a dream, broader than an idea. Vision encompasses vast vistas outside the realm of the predictable, the safe, the expected. No wonder we perish without it. And that was a statement that was written by a man called Charles Swindoll. And it probably sums up what I would want to say in more words as we just open what I want to share this morning. And I don't think we've been in a more interesting and certainly a more challenging place in the life of South Kent Community Church history, certainly for many years, as to where we are at this moment in time. But for me, it's very much an exciting time. I would call it a breakthrough time, a kairos moment, which means it's a God moment, because God is very much initiating where we are and where we're going. And I don't want to follow a politician's lead this morning by putting a lot of spin on the things that I want to say on behalf of the eldership team. But what I want to do is to be as simple and as straightforward as I can be this morning, that will give us a sense of direction of where we're going to be going over these next years, so that from the oldest to the youngest can all have at least some idea of where we're at, and also perhaps this building, St. Saviour's, by God's grace and favour, being part of our future. As a church, I think there are a number of things that could potentially develop or change in the very near future. Obviously, this church being one of them. I think clearly there's been something happening over the last months, possibly the last year in Hythe, and it's going to be exciting to see how that would develop and begin to break out. I think the other thing that I've been very encouraged about, and you will notice, we've got a lot of younger, energized leaders who God has clearly called to serve the future life of this church. And I sense that the future is in safe hands. And I'm excited about that, because these young couples, and many of you are here this morning, are going to outrun some of us oldies. And I'm obviously getting to that stage now. Because they're going to take the church forward into a new season and maybe in a new way, and possibly take some faith risks that I, in my sense of inner security, I might say, maybe haven't done. And so really the purpose of this morning, and some of the leaders have heard a little bit about this before, and so I apologize for that, but I think it's good that I just covered just a little bit of our journey. And so I really wanted to know, you wanted to know maybe some of the direction that we've been going in and will be going in over the next season of church life. And we're talking about years beyond my retirement, and for those of us who are perhaps more senior in the leadership at this time. And so really it's just to explain to you something of the journey that we've been on. And so that as a team, we are at a stage where our vision and our mission statements have now been written, and we're now looking to implement them and to develop them in a way that gives South Kent Community Church a fresh sense of momentum, direction, life, and particularly spiritual life. And so if we can go up for the next slide, and you may not be able to see that, but that just shows you what's happened since February 2013. We felt a real prompting from God to think afresh about the future of this church. And at this time, this building, St. Saviour's, wasn't even thought of. It wasn't even on the horizon, and that's come in on the back of our praying and our sharing. So initially what we did, we found ourselves going back to revisit our former vision and our mission statement, which has been a template and it's been a focus for us perhaps over the last 12, 13, 14 years. And it's helped us to achieve many of the things that we have achieved in that time. I'm not sure how to describe it, but the only way that I could describe it when I shared with some of the leaders, the vision and the mission felt a little bit tired. I don't know if you've ever gone into a building like a hotel or even to a town and you think, this feels tired. Just needs something doing to it just to energize it afresh. And maybe that's how some of us were feeling about our vision and our mission statement. And so from February right through to October of last year, 2013, we did lots of praying, discussion, interaction, as we talked about a church vision and missional statements. And we looked at all various things and processed some of those that we saw from other churches. But then from October through to February this year, there was a subgroup within the eldership that worked on everything that we've been sharing and praying about, with a brief just to try and put those things down on paper that would clarify everything that we wanted to say, not in a long-winded document, but in a one-page statement that everybody could identify with. So we wanted everybody to know what our aim and our focus was, and so we narrowed things down, hopefully, with a real clarity, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. And what happened was the group regularly fed back to us in the main team, and that was really from March up until May of this year. And we shared with a number of other people and say, what do you think about this? What do you feel about this? What can we all incorporate as we begin to outwork it? And so these new vision and mission statements really continue to reflect something that we've already been doing, but they give us scope for new things. And now we want things we want to do now, but also want to do better in the future. But maybe some new ideas will grow and develop out of the things that we've been sharing. And so what I want to do is to show you just a short visual display, which hopefully will capture your attention. And we're going to repeat it perhaps next week when we get a bigger screen so everybody can see it. But some of you had a copy of it last week on paper, but this is just done in a different way for those of you who are very much visual, and it will just give you an idea of where we're aiming for. So hopefully it'll come up on the screen. I'm sorry if you're somebody who gets travel sick, but I hope for the swaying just sort of... what you've just seen really describes the future that we want to see and hope for, and we'd like you as a church family to be able to share with us some of the things that we've dreamt about and thought about, what could be, what we seek after. And most importantly, that we can actually think bigger, because I don't think we've always thought big enough. And a tentative yes has been voiced by the diocese for us to use this church for our carol service. And prophetically, I can see this building absolutely filled with people, not only here, but from around the community. And I think that's really exciting, because they will hear the gospel presented, I trust, in a very creative and a dynamic way. And as one preacher used to say, say amen or off you go. But hopefully you can say amen to that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be here for a carol-like carol service with the whole place filled, and with members from this community coming in. And we would believe that they will serve this new vision. If you can put the next one up. And obviously the vision there is that we demonstrate God's kingdom in community, at home, and also away. The eldership team recognizes that perhaps the hardest part is now putting some of these mission statements into action. We don't all have all the answers, and we would encourage each of you to think about some of these statements and in the spheres of influence that you can bring to see them outworked. And I think with your help, we can identify the best way of moving forward and ensuring that what is written down becomes grounded and has an outworking out, and we want to be accountable for that. So it's important that in all areas of our life together in Southgate Community Church, that these don't just remain clever words on our bulletin each week. So let me just sum up what I have just expressed over these last few minutes. And so if you can put... Okay, so these are statements of intent. I'm not saying we're doing that at the moment. These are our intention. Vision is about our preferred future. And I know that we're not yet there yet. But they will only be fulfilled if each one of us plays our part. And if some of you, if not all of you, can catch something, say, this morning of our hearts for this church and believe the best, then God will, I trust, will encourage us and energize us, because that's what he desires to see happen in this church and in this community. I think there are many things that we could have included, both in the vision and the mission statements, and we've shared some of those with a number of you already, and especially some of the leaders, and we've listened to some wise input and adjusted a couple of things, and there are things that people have commented on that will be brought into the mission statements as we outwork them in the days that lie ahead. But this is what we believe that God has given us as a leadership in each of these five mission statements. God's kingdom can be demonstrated and extended in a very real and a positive way, both in-house and in the community and beyond this region. I think part of God's kingdom is being able to see and experience what I would describe as a visible manifestation of his rule and reign displayed everywhere we go, in everything we do, in the influence we bring, that it's outworked, particularly in the life of this community. And the vision is very wide. But over time, with the goals that we would incorporate into the mission statements and some very specific things, we would be able to monitor the progress and maybe celebrate many victories and successes over these next years. And so if we can just go through each one just very quickly. So they are giving our best service. It's enjoying shared family life together, growing, praying, and inspecting the miraculous. That was important that we put that in there, because we want to believe that we see more than just the norm, okay? We want to be impacting our communities with the love of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we want to be able to cultivate which I'll just say something about in just a moment. And then finally, it's inspiring every generation to pursue the vision. Am I cutting out? Do I need a new battery? Okay, I'll keep it like this. I'll try not to turn around again. So what's going to happen is, between now and Christmas, each of these statements is going to be shared over 1 or 2 weeks and developed more as we move into 2015. If we can have the next slide, please. In many ways, I think it's a bit like taking a pair of binoculars, because some of these things will be seen through lenses that brings everything very close. Others may be seen through the lens that make things more at a distance. And I don't know, as a child, I used to love sort of turning around, and things were distance and then things were very close. Those things that are distant are still there. And at times, I think we will see them through both lenses. Some things will be close as well as distance as they progress. But it's probably the immediate that we want to sort of focus on at this moment in time. And so the vision statement focuses very much on the future, but hopefully it will become a source of inspiration and motivation to us. So it doesn't just speak of the future, but along with the mission statements, it can give a clear direction and affect the change that we want. There are some very specific things that we want to concentrate on, and this is what we would do and what we believe will make a difference in the months and the years ahead. So that God's kingdom is demonstrated both here at home and away, whatever we define as away. Community implies that we do it together. It may be an individual It may be a couple, it might be a family on the ground, but each one of us is resourcing, encouraging, praying as others do it, even if we're not tangibly touching that particular thing. So when I think of Tom and Rita returning to Rwanda as part of South Kent Community Church family, they will be demonstrating God's kingdom in a totally different culture. For them, will be home. Rwanda is home for them. For us, it's away. And I probably, there's not one of us here this morning that would not pray, encourage, and invest in them that they make a difference, that they see lives change and families have the resources that they need to live independently. That is God's kingdom being demonstrated both away and at home because we are partners with them. And I think when you demonstrate it, in this case, God's kingdom, it's something that can be seen. It's very, very clear. It's not something airy-fairy out there. It has a reliability factor. You may show it, you might explain it, you might teach it or illustrate it, but there is some expression of proof and validation in what we are doing. It is self-evident and it is positive. It's something very genuine and I think real when we see God's kingdom being manifested in a very real and a practical way. And as you know, we did a whole series on the kingdom of God. It was either this year or the end of last year, and you may remember some of the aspects of what we shared. Very interesting, it was about 50 years ago, there was a well-known bishop in laying down a challenge, ruefully admitted that in the New Testament, wherever Paul went, he sparked a revolution. But he said, today, wherever I go, they just serve me tea and crumpets. And sadly, that's something, isn't it, of the tradition of the churches in this UK. More tea, vicar? And it's that sense. But yes, we serve tea and biscuits at the end of our service, which is good. But by God's grace, we're going to do far more than that. And just by sitting here this morning. But what we must not do as a church is become tamed by tradition, or maybe cultivated by the present culture, and certainly not be controlled by the desire just to fit in. We want to be different, not for difference sake. Jesus made more than a few waves when he preached about the kingdom. And he actually offended a few people, and he didn't seem to worry too much about that. And I think one of our missional intentions is to cultivate an atmosphere that has a culture of discipleship, which is the biblical way. And we need to make that more of normal church. And I admit it's been a bit hit and miss over the years. So that is one of our statements of intent with regards the future. We don't just want people to come into this church and become domesticated and start behaving like everybody else. We want them somehow to become disciples and go on to make disciples of others. And I made a confession a couple of weeks ago about being something of a news junkie. Well, let me just make another one. And I indicated that when I spoke a little bit earlier, was I think I've played too safe at times. I haven't taken enough risks. Most of the time, that's probably been right, but there may have been times when I could have stepped out in greater faith, and maybe I need to take a few more risks in these last few years of my service in the life of this church. If we can go to the next slide, James. I was reminded of C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories. I think it's in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And the children were worried very much about their first encounter with Aslan, who was the great lion who represented Jesus. And Susan says, "Is he safe?" And I think it's Mr. Beaver who replies and says something like this, "Who said anything about being safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good and he is the king." Jesus was far from being tamed or house-trained. Jesus is good, Jesus is just, and he's powerful enough to defeat evil. And that came out very much in the last song that we sang as we came to the end of our worship. And I think the interesting thing was once the children in the story had met Aslan, then their real adventures began. And I think as we meet God, and as we meet the Holy Spirit in a very new way in these next few years, some real great adventures will begin for this church afresh. I think opportunities exist the whole time for us individually and together as we see God's kingdom manifested and outworked as they exist on what I would describe as perhaps the normal pathways of our daily life. We don't have to go looking far to be able to bring God's kingdom into every context and routine of our lives. I think one of the things that I would like to see change, and we're coming into the home straight now, is that we don't want just to do mission activities. We don't want to wait for somebody like Norman who sort of arranges us for us to do something or sort of tries to fly the flag, you know, we're going to do something. Because that's what we intend or we incline to do sometimes. We wait for someone to raise the flag like Norman. We need to be able to live missionally 24/7. And I know a lot of that needs unpacking, and there's better people to do that than me. But we need to make it a reality in our lives, week by week. And I want just really to draw to a close with this, that when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we got saved, or however you want to describe it, with your conversion came a commission. With your conversion, when you gave your life to Christ, on the back of it came a commission. It was a biblical commission that came out of the heart of God. And if you don't believe me, go and read what the Bible says. We are all called into the kingdom and to kingdom business to live our lives under his orders and no one else's. And we know that the church is more than a building or some form of community meeting. It is who we are. And a people who have been formed out of a direct encounter with the living God. And by God's grace, if the door to this building remains open to us, then I don't want us to simply come with the thought that we are planting a meeting. Now, it may not be a true church plant in the way that we might know it, because there's already been a foundation of worship and of preaching and faithful men and women serving here in the past. But we must come with a church planting mentality of moving out into the community and drawing those in who are in need and need to find Jesus Christ as their personal saviour. That we are a unique people this morning, that having been formed by the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are unique this morning. It's true. You are the church before you do church. You are the church before you do church. In the next slide, James, it says, in John 20:21, it says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And the next one, each one of us is a missionary and we are called to live out our commitment to Jesus' Lordship in every sphere and domain of life. Church life, as we normally conceive it, is only one dimension of life. And there are so many other realms that make up our weekly lives. And so, into the very last minute, what marks Christianity as distinct is that we are truly, I think, a people movement. Every believer, not just some elite group, is an agent in the kingdom of God. And it's called to bring God's influence into the realms of every human existence, whether that's at home, at work, with neighbours, in recreation, whatever it is. And as one writer, Alan Hirsch, says, he says this, in short, what is needed by each of us is a willingness to move with the move of God, and that is with the gospel that we have. And I thought, how can I sum this up? And as I just hand back to Jeremy in a minute, I believe that we can accomplish this by moving in different ways. And there's four different moves that I just wanted to indicate. If we can go to the next slide, James. The first one is to move out. This is our missional engagement, to go to the people. Whether you live in Hythe, whether you live in Leminge, whether you live in Hawkins, wherever you live, it's to go out to the people, to move out. You know, even sometimes when we say, well, let's just pray together, we're almost afraid to get out of our seats. Let's move out. Let's feel free and have the confidence that God gives us to move out. And perhaps by definition, movement suggests there is some form of motion and there's some form of action. We might not have to go far. Could be next door. Could be across the road. But the obligation is to go to them and not for them to come to us. Then to move in. That is the next one. In other words, we get stuck in and we burrow into the culture. There's been an awful lot of talk and programs about Japanese knotweeds. I don't know, it's probably one of the worst weeds. It can break through anything. It can break through concrete. It can break through wood. These roots grow at an incredible rate. And I think we need to be spiritual Japanese knotweeds. We get into everywhere. And we start influencing those things and those people that we touch. And then the third one is we need to move alongside. We need to engage in genuine friendships and relational networks. And I don't want to blow my wife's trumpet, but she's got a couple of cat clients that she regularly keeps in contact with. And even when we were away last week, she's looking in a second-hand bookshop and saying, oh, I wonder if he's got this book because he likes this particular author. And it's been months just building. And it takes time to forge genuine relationships and relational networks. And somehow the people that you carry in your heart are not very far from your mind, because you're often thinking about them. How can I bless them? How can I draw closer to them? And then the last one, and it's an interesting one, I think, but I'll put it in this way. It's to move from. To move from. By that, I think it also means perhaps challenging in what I can only describe as the dehumanizing and the sinful aspects of our culture. It's somehow changing the way that people behave, the way they treat each other. And I mean, there are some awful things going on in our world at this moment. But right in our own community, there are some things which dehumanize people. And there's many sinful aspects of our culture that we somehow need to move from, but at the same time bring influence. And so, as I close, I don't know what you would have voted this week had you been a resident of Scotland. I'll leave that to you. But I think what I saw this week was an incredible passion from both sides, whether it was a yes vote or a no vote. And because people felt so very, very deeply about the thing that they were voting for. And there was a motivation, because the majority were prepared to stand up and be counted for what they believed. And there were many debates and challenges in the preceding weeks. And I was challenged by the passion and the motivation of these people to actually get stuck in, nail their colours to the mast, and say, this is what we believe and this is what we want to happen. And maybe some of us tonight, today, this morning, this week, we need to move out. We need to move out from our comfortable little circle. Maybe others need to move in and get stuck in. And perhaps there are some of you who just need to move alongside somebody this week and say, I'm going to support you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to care for you. And finally, for others, you know that you can be a real influencer for change, to be an influence for change, where there are things that are happening and should not be happening. And so over these weeks, we're going to try and open up many of these mission statements for you, and you'll hear from different people, and I trust that will be an inspiration to you. So, Father, we just say thank you, Father, for that verse in Psalms that says, without vision, the people perish or they throw off restraint. And Father, we believe that as a leadership team, you've given us a direction to go in. Father, we may not be the perfect statement. It may not be the perfect vision, but Father, we believe that you can help us to see some of these things outworked in the days that lie ahead. So Father, we just do continue to pray that you would outwork your purpose and plan for this building. Father, and Father, for things that are happening behind the scenes, for this community of Folkestone and the surrounding area, for Hythe and the villages that surround it. Father, we do want to be agents of change, and we do that, Father, by bringing a visible display of your kingdom into the life of our community. Help each one of us to play our part, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.